Today I'm going to be talking to you all about how this political ideology, I really don't like this, but I have to be here because it's recording. So I'm trying to step away, but I can't. But basically I'm going to be talking to you all about how the political ideology is reinforcing the health inequities. I think it's stuff that we all already know, so in some sense it makes my job easier. But that's what I'll be talking about. And, you know, in order to do that, let's talk about and look at where the uninsured, where folks live. The insurance coverage distribution varies based on the income. It also, of course, the nature of employment, whether or not employers are able to provide health insurance to their employees, and also the reach of Medicaid programs in the state. So clearly, you can see that individuals that are high likely to be uninsured are living in the South and the West. I have a small theory that the Southwest should just be considered all part of the South, but we can talk about that later. So this is just to basically show you all that. We are dealing and living with political landscapes that are difficult, especially in the South, and it's a challenge to say the least. There are ways, though, big and small, that the Raising Women's Voices regional coordinators are having a very direct impact in their state and their local neighborhoods. And this also shows which states have opted to use their own marketplace, and which ones, of course, are defaulted to use the federally facilitated marketplace for the ACA insurance. Obviously, you'll start to see some similarities here. And then to make matters a little worse, navigators, which are folks that are helping people to register and to get a health insurance plan, they're subject to the same standards federally, the same training, but despite that, different states have created their own policies and state laws that are forcing navigators to go through additional training. So they're having to go through additional hoops and barriers. And this just shows some of the states that have done that. Some of the restrictions are around what they're able to say. Some of the restrictions are making navigators have insurance bonds. They did that in Georgia, like similar to like an insurance broker. They're also restricting what they can say, and even restricting organizations and health departments from being able to talk about the Affordable Care Act. Once again, you'll see these are the red. These states are all in the same location. This is to show you all, the healthcare reform renewed the debate around the insurance coverage of abortion. It's not anything new. It renewed it in the sense of restricting of insurance coverage in the health plans that are sold on the marketplace. So instead of paying attention to the orange, look at the gray, because the gray is where there is insurance abortions have been banned except in limited situations on plans that are sold on the marketplace. That's about half of the U.S. right now. And then, of course, this might be very fresh in you all's minds, is our elections. And this is what we're looking at and what we're dealing with now. These are the election results for governors. And the red, once again, very dire in the South and the conservative states. These are the governors that are making the decisions around the Medicaid expansion for their states and for the population of folks that live in their states. As you all know, the one of the biggest decisions that they have power over is expanding Medicaid or closing the coverage gap. So ACA covers and gives subsidies for folks that are at 400% of poverty. The traditional Medicaid program has their own cap, and there's all the people in the middle that are falling into this coverage gap. And it's literally because of those conservative governors that we're talking about here, a lot of whom got reelected, that the reason why we are going to continue to see a coverage gap unless something gets done. And just to take a look at that even a little bit more, you can see the similarities between where the governors are at and which states are still yet to close the coverage gap. who this is, this slide I just want to note because Pennsylvania just recently, their governor accepted, although with some exemptions and waivers, Pennsylvania did accept to expand Medicaid starting January 1. So the number is actually at 4 million people that are falling into the coverage gap that are still without insurance. And just to point out, 80% of those folks are in the South, right? So I think that's a very, these are drastic numbers. These are the folks in the South where Medicaid eligibility is already limited. This is 11 out of the 25 states are those that are in the South. So that means that these are also, the majority of the folks are folks of color, right? African American populations, Latinos, are the ones that are disproportionately being affected by this. These are also the same populations that are already having high chronic diseases, that already are in high need of access to healthcare. So this isn't making it any better. Also, just to show a little bit about the LGBTQ population, a lot of folks are living in the South, very low income, 1 in 3 is uninsured. So, I mean, I'm just trying to, with different maps, showcase what this is, the effect that this is happening. There's a big myth, I'm sure you all have heard, that, and one of the reasons why they're saying that they're not expanding, and it ties into just different issues around legislators and governors not wanting to do anything for the working poor, right? Is that they're saying, oh, these people are not working, and there's just this huge myth that has racist undertones within it. And this is just to show what we already know, right? 57% of those that could benefit from Medicaid expansion are working, have been working. 24% are classified as not in the workforce. And these are folks that are living, they have disabilities, they're students, they're working spouses, or they may be stay-at-home spouses. And then the 22% are actually folks that are unemployed. Just to take a closer look at some of these working folks, they're the fast food workers. These are your painters, your carpenters. These are your cashiers that are working in retail. These are your housekeepers and janitors. If people go to a carniceria, they're your butchers, laundry workers. They're the hotel desk clerks, your bus drivers and taxi drivers. These are barbers and your hair salon stylist person, your mechanics, that's the last line that's not showed on here, that are at 7,000. So this is the faces of who is falling into the coverage gap that I think a lot of people refuse to acknowledge and a lot of folks are working to put a face onto this. But when you see and when you interact with these folks, recognize, you probably already know this, right? But these are the people that are falling into the coverage gap. These are also the same people that are fighting for their lives in other aspects, right? Trying to raise the minimum wage for the Fight for 15, trying to get themselves recognized as LGBT in the South, fighting for trans health cover, for trans care and trans safety. So these are not just siloed in one area, right? These are all of our intersections are all wrapped up into one, which is why a lot of these things are happening, and folks are trying to work and address these issues as a whole, not just one aspect of them. And Monica Laird is one very good example. She used to live in Tennessee. This is Michelle Farden, her mom. And Monica was a 37-year-old woman living in Tennessee who was aspiring to be a screenwriter and wanted to make biographical movies. She had a career in banking and was active in her church, was active civically, and unfortunately she passed away this summer, very suddenly. She had a injury in her foot, and she didn't go to the doctor because she didn't have health insurance, and she couldn't afford to go to the doctor, so she did what my mom has done, what many of folks that maybe you all know or maybe either friends or family or neighbors and put it off, right? Like, she decided she was going to stay off her feet and thought that maybe it was just a broken toe or something and wasn't going to look at it, wasn't going to do anything about it. She just figured, I'll stay off my feet, it'll heal, it'll be fine. And when she finally decided to go to the emergency room, it was too late. That same day, she died of a pulmonary embolism. And so it was too late. And Monica was the perfect, you know, a living, breathing example of someone who's living at these different intersectionalities, right? A woman who's in the South in a conservative state. She is Black. She is a working woman who just couldn't afford to have health insurance. She was one of 74,000 adults who fall into the Medicaid gap in Tennessee. And so now her mother, for better or worse, is now taking her story with her grief and sharing it with legislators and trying to highlight this as an example of why we need Medicaid, unfortunately, at the expense of her own daughter's death. So I just wanted folks to sit with that, because all of, you know, the slides that I've been talking about, this is like the crux of it all. Our regional coordinators are working in different coalitions. Ms. Catherine will be up here talking to you all about some of the work they do here in Louisiana. But we have folks in the South and Maine and folks in Pennsylvania and in other coalitions that are working to expand Medicaid in traditional coalitions, mainstream coalitions, through Moral Monday, which is more like your rowdy grassroots, you know, outside the Capitol. They're doing a lot of education, a lot of what we all might know, traditional rallies and press conferences and signing petitions, just really trying to do education and raising awareness around this issue for people themselves that fall into the coverage gap that may not know it, and for others that don't know that their neighbor probably doesn't have health insurance and could be faced with something like this, to legislators that continue to refuse to accept the federal dollars that the federal government would provide for this. And so this is just some of the work that we're doing, that our regional coordinators are doing in their states and trying to raise awareness around that. You know, I'm sure you all know, I mean, it's hard enough to get recognized as a legible human being in the South, and even worse if you're also LGBT, or if you're also trans, if you're a woman living with HIV. But our regional coordinators are in these communities. They are the ones that are talking to folks and raising and educating people around this. So I just wanted to leave you all on that note, that we are definitely trying to do some of that work. Thank you.